Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, May 28th, 2017. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. The message today is from our worship series, OMG, Jesus is Alive. Today's discussion is about the conversion of Saul. The New Testament reading is from Acts, starting at chapters 21 through verse 39 and chapter 22 through verse 21.
The Gospel according to, the Acts of the Apostles. This is chapter 21, verses 39 through 22, 21. It sounds like a long story, but it's got all the parts in it, so I kept the whole thing. It's about the Apostle Paul. Paul replied, "I'm a Jew, a Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of an important city. I beg you, let me speak to the people." When he had given Paul permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the people for silence. When there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language, saying, "Brothers and fathers, listen to the defense that I now make before you." When they heard him addressing them in Hebrew, they became even more quiet. Then he said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, educated strictly according to our ancestral law, being zealous for God, just as all you are today. I persecuted this way up to the point of death by binding both men and women and putting them in prison. As the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify about me, from them I also received letters to the brothers in Damascus, and I went there in order to bind those who were there and bring them back to Jerusalem for punishment. While I was on my way and approaching Damascus about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone about me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.' Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not hear the voice of the one who was speaking to me. I asked, 'What am I to do, Lord?' The Lord said to me, 'Get up and go to Damascus, and there you will be told everything that has been assigned to you to do.' Since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, those who were with me took my hand and led me to Damascus. A certain Ananias, who was a devout man according to the law and well spoken of by all the Jews living there, came to me. And standing beside me, he said, 'Brother Saul, regain your sight.' In that very hour, I regained my sight and saw him. Then he said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear his own voice. For you will be his witness to all the world of what you have seen and heard. And why do you delay? Get up, be baptized, have your sins washed away, calling on his name.' After I had returned to Jerusalem, and while I was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw Jesus saying to me, 'Hurry and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me.' And I said, 'Lord, they themselves know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And while the blood of your witness Stephen was shed, I myself was standing by, approving and keeping the coats of those who killed him. Then Jesus said to me, 'Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles.'" Please join me in a word of prayer. God, we come and we seek your face, longing for you to reveal yourself, longing for revelation. So God, open up these scriptures, and by your Holy Spirit, reveal to us yourself anew this day. that we may have a deep sense of your grace and love and word and guidance for us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The front of your bulletin says, OMG. Oh my God. That text phrase that has become commonplace and casual in our language. I'll admit we've had, mixed response from the congregation. Some of you have said, I think we kind of look kind of hip to have OMG on our sign out front. We sort of sound like we're with the times. But also I've heard that some of us are uncomfortable with the language, that it is too casual to just say OMG, and that's taking the Lord's name in vain. Either way you feel about it, or other things, or things in between, today is the last of our OMG series. But I figured we couldn't have an Easter and post-resurrection and OMG series without the hugest OMG story of them all, which is Saul of Tarsus. Even people who have never read the Bible have heard of Saul's Damascus Road moment. It shows up in literary references, songs, pop culture. It's that dramatic conversion story, the come to Jesus moment. But did you know the story of Saul encountering the risen Christ is recorded 3 different times in the book of Acts? Probably the one you've heard of the most is in chapter 9. That's the first time we hear it. It's narrated in more of that historical setting, in the third-person perspective, and we kind of get to see Paul walking down the road. But later, here in chapter 22 and later on in chapter 26, we get Paul sharing his story, his testimony, when he needs to defend his faith publicly. And in that sense, it's the first person retelling. This is what happened to me when I was on the road to Damascus. So for this Acts 22 version, here's a little context. Paul has been threatened by a mob of religious leaders in Jerusalem. Lots of the leaders and the regular temple goers are ragingly mad at him. Why are you bringing Gentiles into the temple? Why are you teaching against our people and our law and this sacred place? And so then the civic authorities get involved in this religious battle, and the Romans come and they arrest Paul. But some scholars think it might have been closer to protective custody. We'll take care of him so you don't get mob justice. But before he's taken away, Paul asks the Roman guards, which he can as a citizen of Rome, that if he could tell his story. And so he asks to speak. And he pauses and he turns around and motions for silence and speaks in Hebrew. I was on the way toward Damascus, and about noon, this great light from heaven suddenly shone about me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice. I heard Jesus. I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. It is 100% clear to Saul that he encountered the risen Christ of Nazareth on that day on the road. This is one of those face-to-face encounters. He heard God's voice. This is not the vague, oh, I sort of saw something in the clouds. He heard Jesus speaking to him by name and directly. Don't you wish Jesus was that way more often? sometimes, right? Don't you wish Jesus could be that clear and that direct with you? God, it would take care of some of those nagging doubts. Or when you're looking for a decision or which way is the right way to go, don't you wish that Jesus would show up with a big bright light and say, go this way? Most of the time, we don't get that, though. But some of the time, we do. A few people, and some, I'm guessing, in this congregation, have had in their lifetime maybe one or two Damascus Road moments. They aren't common, but they aren't impossible or all that uncommon either. Those moments of hearing Jesus so clearly that it changes everything, that life becomes after that moment. Truly, an oh my God experience. I've been given that gift. And so today I feel called and invited, perhaps even urged by Christ, not to be subtle, but to share my biggest OMG moment. Not to make myself all sound all spiritual, like, oh, look at how cool your pastor is, but or to be proud of my faith, but more to share how Christ has changed my life. That conversion moment. Presbyterians don't like to use the words born again, but it kind of felt like that. Sometimes this is how I answer the question, how do I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior? Or, as the question we've been encountering, question we've been doing, when have I encountered the risen Christ? So I was a child of the church. I was an acolyte. I sang in the little cherub choir wearing a white robe and a bright red neck scarves, like these huge ribbons, at Rolling Hills United Methodist Church. When I was a senior in high school, 15 years old, the youth program at that church just fell apart. We had this rotating door of youth directors. They came in, they stayed for 3 months, they left. And the youth group dropped from 14 kids to 5 kids to 1 kid. That would be me. But luckily, there was this really cute guy named David Atkins who wasn't doing so well in algebra that year. So I helped him out. And I sat right behind him. He would wear t-shirts, and on the back it would say, God is dot, dot, dot everywhere. I thought he might know something about God. And eventually he invited me on a mission trip to Mexico with his church, the Presbyterian Church, on the other side of the hill. And I went, and on that trip, I met people who talked about Jesus as if he was really alive, as if he was their friend. And as we reflected on the last days of Jesus' life of Holy Week on this Easter Project mission trip, I found myself praying, I kind of want what these people have. I don't know exactly what it is that they know, but they have something I don't, and God, I want that. And just like that flash of light, God answered that prayer. I felt God all around me. There was this overwhelming sense of love. And I think my appearance changed. I think there was a glow about me after that experience where I just knew that God existed. I knew that Jesus was the most important person I'd ever met, and I knew I was loved by this amazing God. I was on a spiritual high. Wow, aha, Jesus is Lord. But it didn't last. It couldn't really. The very next year was the stress of my senior year in high school and college decisions crept in, and I, like so many of our young people, I was really overcommitted. President of the 4-H club, captain and point guard of the basketball team, leadership in the youth group, working as a tutor 2 afternoons a week, and taking a pretty heavy load of a lot of advanced placement classes. And by the time Easter Project rolled around in April, I would barely wanted to go. I felt obligated to. After all, I was a key leader in the youth group. But really, I didn't want to go because of the time. I didn't want to go because I was ashamed to go. I knew my choices and priorities weren't what God was wanting from me, and I felt really guilty. My sins were not the kinds of sex and drugs and rock and roll. Not that kind of rebellion. But I felt the weight of my own bad decisions that had been eating away at me. I had wanted to call Jesus Lord, but he wasn't really Lord of my life. I was a walking shell. It was a disappointment to my parents, a disappointment to myself, and most certainly a disappointment to God. But I went because it was easier to go than it was to try to create some excuse not to go. And again, it was the week before Holy Week, and we looked over some of those stories of what happens with Jesus in the days leading up to his crucifixion. And one day they gave each of us this medallion and said, think of Judas. Remember, Judas sold Jesus out for 30 shekels of silver? Just wear this today and be mindful of the ways that you've sold out Jesus. I'm like, okay, I can wear that. I know that. At the end of the day, they wanted it back. I was like, you don't get it. You don't get it back. Right? But again, I'm too much of a conformist to break the rules. So I, you know, oh, I've got a microphone on. That's not going to work. So I turned it back in. Oh, that's not going to work. Good Friday comes around, and it is Friday of Holy Week. And we walk up to this tall hill, this tall, brown, dirty hill, and on it is a cross, and we hear again the story of Jesus' crucifixion. And hear again how his grace, he's died for us. Is it still all tangled up? There we go. And how he died for us, and he died for our sins, and therefore we are forgiven. And I went, yeah, right. And they had taken these same medallions, and they had nailed them and hung them up on the cross. And they said, these are the sins. These are the things that you know that you remembered. So come forward and come get one. And I'm standing way in the back going, no, I can't come get one. I don't deserve one. And I'm not ready. I'm not ready to receive that grace. So I'm just going to hide out here in the back row and let everybody else go forward. And as I'm hiding out there in the back row and feeling miserable, one of the adult leaders I notice is moving through the crowd and giving them to people. And this person's getting closer and closer to me, and I realize, I don't know if I'm going to be able to avoid this. And the next thing I know, somebody has come up and handed this back to me and said, you are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. And at that moment, I knew it. I knew it in that crystal clear, like hearing the voice of God moment. It's that grace. And not because I could even walk forward and show up to receive it. I couldn't even obey the instructions of the moment. And it came anyway. It came when I wasn't ready. It came when I didn't even think that I could receive it. Oh my God. Telling this story is hard because it's so intense. And it's so deeply personal to tell how real God's grace is to me in that moment. And sometimes telling those stories are hard because even though I was surrounded by so many other people, they didn't have that same experience of grace in that same moment that I did. No one else really shared in that experience. But it happens that way. When Saul was on the road, in verse 9, it says, "Now those who were with me saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice of the one who was speaking to me." And later on in verse 17, it said it was like Paul had fallen into a trance. And that's when he saw Jesus. So really the only way other people could know that it was Jesus, the risen Christ who had encountered Saul on the road, is for Saul to tell them, to share his experience, and to show how that experience has changed him, and then to go and follow where Christ leads. And so it's been for me. For even though nobody else could hear God's voice the way I heard God's voice that day, I live to live it and show it, to teach it and preach it, that this grace from Jesus Christ is a gift. It's a gift. Thanks be to God. Jesus reaches out in love for us in so many ways. And one of the ways is through this meal. And when he sat and set this meal out, he knew that Judas, his betrayer, was at the table with him. And Judas was included in this meal as well. So you're invited to come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. And come, not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help and grace. Come, because Jesus loves you and gives himself for you. Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world and for your promises to your people Israel and for Jesus Christ, in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the death and resurrection of our Lord. Receive our sacrifice of praise. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith, encourage us with hope, inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God. Through Christ, your word made flesh, and the holy and life-giving Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.